My secretary had always been very good at fending off importunate authors, hoping to bluff their way into my office, clutching armfuls of typescript for which they were sure I could negotiate a profitable deal with some distinguished publisher. But just before lunchtime, this one incredible day, she put her head round the door looking pale and worried, unsure of how she ought to have coped.
"David, there are two men here to see you."
"I'm sure you can give them a thorough vetting, Macy, before..."
"They're policemen."
They were, in fact, two plainclothes officers, a Detective Inspector Emerson and a Detective Constable, whose mumbled introduction escaped me. "Mr. David Milburn, the name's on our plate by the door." It was a silly, nervous thing to say, with no reason for being nervous. We surely weren't going to be accused of handling pornography or terrorist propaganda. "Your agency represents Mr. Crispin Brooke?"
"It does."
"When did you last see Mr. Brooke?"
"I had drinks with him and his wife last evening."
"Why? Is anything wrong?" "You said with Mr. Brooke and his wife?"
"Yes. We were celebrating acceptance of his latest novel."
"That's odd."
"What's odd? It's quite common for old friends to get together when a deal's been pulled off."
"Of course. You were friends as well as business acquaintances."
The sun was warm on the window, but somehow a chill draft had begun fingering its way into the room.
"Of course we were. I mean, we are."
The detective inspector smiled a very disturbing smile, as if he'd caught me, but in some damaging admission. He said,
"So you're not aware that Mr. Brooke died last night?"
It was not just a draft now, but a freezing pain in the guts. I could hardly breathe.
"Died?"
"And you must have been the last person to see him alive."
"No, that's not so. Gemma, Mrs. Brooke, she must have been the last one. After she'd dropped me off and gone back."
"Dropped you off, Mr. Milburn?"
I stammered out a sympathetic tale of Crispin having perhaps had too much to drink, so that I decided to leave early and his wife had driven me home, and then must obviously have hurried back to see how he was. Detective Inspector Emerson took his time, as if savouring something in his mouth, chewing on it and liking the taste better and better, yet at the same time frowning at something far from tasteful.
"That's rather odd, Mr. Milburn," he said at last. "Because Mrs. Brooke assures us she wasn't at home yesterday. She was spending the night with a friend and knew nothing about her husband's death until she went home this morning and then notified us. It was a great shock to her."